We were discussing it 2 weeks ago, and we said it over Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to say it again on Yom Kippur. It's very powerful in its words, and also when the Chazan says it, so it's clear in the davening that this is a really powerful tefillah. That the Chazan has a different way of saying it, and he says it in a very powerful way. So we dealt with the beginning part a little bit, so we'll review a little bit because some people weren't here. And then we're going to try to, we only did a couple of lines, so hopefully we can get through more of it today. In the art school, once it's 5:30.
I have Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, so which one am I doing?
Either one. The Yom Kippur one's 5:30.
Okay, thank you. The other one was 4:80, like last week,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm just... No, it's fine. It's fine. So I'll just review this. The story for Nisana Tokev. Nisana Tokev was written...
I don't know on the same page, but
it's 5:30.
Is it possible?
Yeah, I'll find it.
4:80 Rosh Hashanah, 5:30.
It's in the Musaf prayer, in the repetition.
Yeah.
I'll just say over the story while I'm looking for it here. I said it last week also. The way this came to be written was somewhat later than the other tefillahs that we have. It was by Rav Amnon of Mainz. He was.
Mainz? Was it that same?
Is it the same thing?
I don't know.
It's Mainz. It's Mainz. I think it's something else than Mainz.
It's German.
So he was quote unquote friendly with a bishop there. And then the bishop told him one day that he should convert to Christianity. And so Rav Amnon said, he didn't want to say no right away. He was friendly. He was somewhat friendly with him. So he said, let me think about it for 3 days. And while he said that, right after he said that, he came home and he realized, how could I say that I'm going to think about it for 3 days? Why would I ever say such a thing? I should just totally reject it. How could I have said such a thing? And he tried to hide away from his quote-unquote friend, this bishop, and finally this bishop got to him, and he said, how come you never came to me? And so he told him, you know, I did such a bad thing for actually even saying the words that I would think about it, that I think you should cut off my tongue for that. So this is a pretty powerful story here. The bishop then says back that, no, that wasn't your problem. Your problem was that you never came back to me. And so he said, because of that, your legs were the ones that, your legs sinned, and also your hands. And so he cut off his legs and his hands. What kind of friend he is. They were friendly beforehand. And then afterwards, he was going to die shortly. And he was asked to be brought in front, on Rosh Hashanah, to be brought in front of the bima in the shul. And he said this tefillah. This tefillah of the Nisan Tokev is what this Rav Amnon said. And then he died. He died in the shul. And then afterwards, he came to a Kabbalist in the city in a dream, and he told him that he should spread this tefillah throughout the world so that they should say this on Rosh Hashanah. And so this is what we're saying. It's supposed to be...
361 in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah.
Oh. This is really... It was supposed to be said on Rosh Hashanah. A lot of the tefillah really relates to Rosh Hashanah, but it became the minhag to... It became the custom to say it on Yom Kippur as well. So, it was really supposed to be meant for Rosh Hashanah, but we also say now for Yom Kippur. Everyone have the page? Yeah? So I'm going to go quicker on the beginning, because we did the part of the beginning, but we'll just review it. V'nisana tokef kedushas hayom. We're going to discuss the power of this holy day, kuhu norav ayom. It's very awesome. These days are called the yamim noraim, these awesome days. Uvo tinase malchusecha, your kingship will be exalted. Yikom bechesed kisecha, and your chair is established on chesed, on kindness. And last time we discussed how the world is created based on chesed, based on kindness. Even during a day of judgment, it's still based on chesed. It's based on Hashem's mercy for us. V'teishev alav be'emes, and it's also based on truth. And so now we have a whole long list of what Hashem does when He judges us. He says, "Emes ki udayin mochiach." It is true that God is the judge, v'yodea va'ed, and he knows everything. V'kosei v'chosim, and he writes everything down and he signs it. V'tiskor kol anishkachos, and he remembers everything that happens. I'm going quicker now. But v'tiftach ha-sefer ha-zichronos u'me'elav yikarei. He opens up the book of remembrance, and then he remembers everything that we're doing. This is, the point of this is to understand that we're being judged on this day. Then we say v'chosim yad kol adam bo, and each person signs it. So we discussed last time how each person, when they, what does it mean to sign something? When do you give your signature on something?
When you see the document.
When you see the document, what does the signature mean? What does it mean to? It's accountability. When you sign on something, you're accountable for it. And so this is what's going on here. God is remembering everything, and not only does God remember everything, after God remembers everything that you do over the course of the year, so you're signing on it. You're saying it's all true. It's completely true, which is, you know, you're looking back at your life over the past this past year, and you're saying that everything that I've done, all the good things that I've done, and all the not so good things that I've done, mm-hmm. it's all true, and you're signing on it. There's another explanation which is given for v'chosim yad kol adam bo, that a person signs on it, that we have the Talmud tells us that we have three books that are open to us in Rosh Hashanah. We have the book of life, the book of death, and then we have the book for those who are in between. And those who are in between, then they get judged over the next week, over the next 10 days, until Yom Kippur comes. And so there's an explanation that's given. There's a famous explanation that's given that we sign, we get to pick which book we go on. It's up to us to decide. We could decide, are we going to be in the book of life? Are we going to be in the book of death? Or are we going to be in the middle? It's really, ultimately, it's up to us. It's based on our actions, it's based on what we do, and that's what it means here, that when we sign, we're signing, we're picking which book we're going into. So the question is, obviously everyone's going to sign on the book of life. Who would choose to sign on the book of death? So in terms of that, you have to understand what life is. What is life? The Chazal, the rabbis tell us that a wicked person, even during their lives, are called dead. Even during their lives, wicked people are called dead. And tzaddikim, the righteous people, even when they're dead, they're called alive. It's called that they're alive.
So that's why Rabbi Schneerson on the show died, they still consider them alive?
That's a little more complicated. It's a little different.
Sorry to take you offside.
Okay. This is being recorded, so we have to be careful here.
Wrong.
No. So what does it mean that if you're a righteous person when he's dead, he's viewed as really alive? And what does it mean that if you're a wicked person, you're called dead even if you're physically alive?
Well, it's related to mitzvahs and what you do on earth, right?
Right. So what does it mean? What does it mean that you're alive? So what does it mean that? Why would such a person be viewed? They're a wicked person who's walking around. So what does it mean that he's
the
dead?
The value of your deeds. If the value of your deeds is wicked, then you may as well not be here.
Right. Exactly.
You're not giving something beneficial to the world. And vice versa, if somebody is continuously giving things that are beneficial to people and to the world, then even when they're gone, those things carry on.
And they last forever.
And they last, yeah.
Yeah. So that's exactly what it means to be alive. To be alive means to have meaning and to have purpose and to give to the world. And so a person who's dead, but they gave to the world, so then their actions continue forever. The results of their actions continue forever. And so that's what we're doing. When we sign in the book of life, so it's not just for anybody. It's not like you could just say, okay, I want to live. It's that means that, no, you have meaning in your life. You have purpose in your life, and you want to accomplish things in your life. So then you get to sign in the book of life. And so that's what v'chosim yad kol adam bo. When a person signs, they want to sign in the book of life. They want to show that they have meaning in their life. They want to accomplish things in their life, and they want to give to the world. And so that's what it means in this line. V'chosim yad kol adam bo. So you can tell that this is dealing with Rosh Hashanah from the next line. Ubeshofar gadol yitaka v'kol demama daka yishama. It might not be referring to Rosh Hashanah here, but we discussed that last time. Then we say the angels are trembling. Even the angels are trembling from this day of judgment. So there's a whole discussion whether angels actually get judged during this time period. Angels don't really have free choice, so it's hard to say that they get judged. That's a whole discussion which we dealt with last time also. V'chilu ra'adu yochezen v'yomer hine yom adin. The day of judgment came. Lifgod al tzvamarom badin, ki lo yisku beinecha badin. So I'm just going a little quicker to get to the next part.
Where you are, though.
Page 532 on the top.
No.
You have a different...
Vivian 361.
Vivian?
Yeah.
361.
That's where I am.
By the middle of the page.
That's okay.
It's okay. Just show her.
It's okay. Use it.
Okay.
Then it says, V'chol bai olam yavrin lefanecha kivnei maron. That the entire world passes in front of God, so to speak, one by one. They go one by one. So each individual gets judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just that we get judged as a group, as a community, as a Jewish community, but we also, each individual gets judged. And then he goes on, the tefillah goes on to say, Kevakares ro edro, mavrit sono tachas shifto. It just describes how, just like a shepherd counts his sheep one by one, so too God counts us one by one. Kein taver v'tispor v'timna, God counts us, v'tifko nefesh kol chai. I'm skipping a little bit. V'tichtov is gezar dinam. And God gives us a certain judgment. So the first paragraph here, which is what we dealt with last time, deals with the fact that this is a day of judgment, and we're scared, we're very nervous, and we're trembling in fear over what's going to happen to us over the next 10 days, starting from with Rosh Hashanah, ending on Yom Kippur. And then we have the next paragraph, which furthers this point of the day of judgment, about how we don't know what's going to happen in the next year, who's going to die, who's going to live, miva ish, miva cherev, different forms of terrible death. And so it's a very powerful paragraph, that one. I'm gonna skip that one so we can get to the next couple of paragraphs. So after that, after we have two paragraphs describing how this is really the day of judgment and that we should be in tremendous fear, so then it reaches the climax of this tefillah. And the climax of this tefillah is to say, Uchuva utfilu tztaka ma'avirin es roa ha'gzera. That through repentance, through tefillah, through davening, and through charity, so then that removes the evil decree. So there's a discussion here. Is it repent? We have these three things: repentance, prayer, and charity. So those remove the evil decree. So there are some that say that it's really these three. These are three things which remove the evil decree. There are others that say that really it's about repentance. The focus is really about repentance. And the way to accomplish repentance fully is that you have to repent, but included in that, part of the repentance process is also to pray, it's also to daven, and to give charity. You need both of those as part of the repentance process. It's not like there are three independent ideas that you have to do, but really they fall under this idea of repentance. They all fall under repentance. And so in order to repent properly, you also have to pray, and you also have to give charity. So can anybody think about why it is that charity, specifically charity and prayer, fall under repentance? Why can't you... all you need for repentance,
Shuvah,
yeah.
Also means return.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So prayer and charity are a means of return.
Okay, very good. Why specifically prayer and charity? Why can't I do anything to show that I return?
Why? What else would you do?
I think it demands some introspection and internal reflection in order to do the prayer and the charity. It's not just enough to stand in front of a mirror and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, oops.
Right, so it requires...
So it actually requires you to internalize when you're praying maybe what some of those things would have been, even if...
I kind of disagree with that, because
really?
Prayer is a conversation with Hashem.
Yeah.
And charity is taking care of other people, loving other people as you love yourself. So it isn't internal. It comes out.
I think
it's something that needs to be recognized first in you. You can't just... It's not just an action. I think
I was thinking about both these ideas as an answer, so it's interesting. I think on the one hand it's true that the concept of why specifically tefillah of prayer and tzedakah of charity, because we have two different types of mitzvos, of obligations that we have. We have to have a relationship with God. That's one aspect of being Jewish, that you have your relationship, your unique relationship with God, and that's what tefillah is about. It's prayer, you're talking, communicating with God. And then the second one is about being nice and caring about your fellow friend. And so that's what tzedakah is about. Tzedakah, charity, is about caring about one another. And so that's exactly what Rivka was mentioning, that tefillah and tzedakah are a form of repentance, that you're repenting both with regards to your own relationship with God and with regards to how you act with your friends and with the poor people that are in your neighborhood, how you care about everybody. I think that's one idea that's being represented here. I think the other idea is also that tshuva can't just be something which is purely in the mind. It has to come into existence and in action. And so we say that there are three different types of I don't know if you call it actions, but there are three different modes of commandments or obligations. There's the thought, there's words, and then there's action. One, the way thought in terms of the way a person thinks, there's words, which is not as strong as an action, but then there's an action which is a direct result of your thought. So the thought comes from tshuva. Tshuva, a large part of repentance is just about thinking about what you've been doing, introspection, internalizing everything. But without having that come into fruition, without actually that coming into the world through dibur, through speech, which is what tefillah is about, prayer is about talking. You have to talk to God. And then also through tzedakah, through actually giving charity, you're performing that action. So then the tshuva is missing without that. Unless you act on it, so then you're missing out on your repentance. You can't just purely repent in your mind. Mm-hmm. You have to act on it, which is something that everyone should be doing. I'm the first one to have to do that. That as we go through these days, so then we have to think about what we have to do better. But then we also have to have some sort of plan. How are we gonna accomplish that? It's not just, oh, I'm doing this wrong and I'm doing that wrong. But you also have to think about, well, how am I going to correct that? What am I going to do? What am I actually going to do actively? What is the process that I... You have to have a detailed process. What am I going to practically do to correct my mistakes? I mentioned this last time, but I think it's very important to mention that it shouldn't be like a completely depressing time period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
No,
okay, good. But some people view it as a depressing time period.
Well, it can be overwhelming.
It can't be too overwhelming.
Okay. You know, your life is standing you're standing before Hashem, and it's literally like in the old world of the pharaohs.
Yeah.
Caesar was this way, that way. It is, and it was actually my father. It's an intimidating prayer because you're naked in front of Hashem.
Right.
He sees all. He knows all what you've done. He knows where you slipped. He knows where you have assisted. And it's time to pay the piper. And he decrees what that shall be. So I wish there was a happier way where we could see that.
Well, that gives you an opportunity.
Well, we'll see that there is a happier ending to this prayer.
My mother-in-law used to go to the Yom Kippur dance. After Yom Kippur, they would have a dance, and that's where you would go and look for a mate. You know, shidduchs were made.
Are you serious?
After.
Yeah. And Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur dance.
Yeah. Really?
After you break fast, you would go to the Katie Sitton.
But not in Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur.
After Yom Kippur.
You're supposed to be very happy.
Yeah.
No, you are. You're supposed to be very happy.
You're supposed to be scared. Me.
We're supposed to, the Medrash tells us that the reason why we fast, the Medrash says that the reason why we fast and we don't eat, and the men wear a kittel, they wear this white garment, is because we're like angels on Yom Kippur. We fast also because it's a form of repentance, but we also fast because angels, they don't eat, they're not physical. So we're supposed to represent the fact that we're like angels on this day. So it's both a day of, you know, emotions of trembling, but it's also a day where we're coming back to Hashem, we're coming back to Him, and we're like angels on this day.
Is it also like returning to the chuppah, because Hashem is our husband and we are the wife?
But you also wear a kittel when you die too,
it's
right?
It's also true. No, it's also true. They're different. They're different. The kittel
are you
itself.
Are pure, maybe?
No, it's true. But the kittel does symbolize different aspects. It does symbolize different aspects. In terms of the chuppah, it is definitely, yeah. It's the Gemara even says that it's like Yom Chuppah, so it's like the day of the chuppah. So it's very much analogous.
But you know, at the same time that Lenny said how overwhelming it is and how naked, etc. In a way, I can't help but think, yeah, but we have to remember that our God is a forgiving God. Like you can't just go with that attitude, otherwise you'll just cry all the time.
Yeah.
That's true.
But even even so, but even with that, like if I just think that way, I'm just going to give up.
It's true.
But that's
true.
What you say. If you're like my father, and you know, you can relate to that. Like you, as a parent, as a leader, you want the best for your people. So of course you're demanding of your children, and of course you demand, but you love them. Bottom line is, you know that the bottom line is you want the best for your child, even if you punish them, even if you take away something from them. So, of course, it's hurtful. But at the same time, you know that it's coming from a place that loves and he doesn't want to hurt you and he wants you. He wants you to
and
come
all
back.
Day we're talking about our father, our king. Both of those are people who love us and want us and want only good for us.
Except a little problem. Mi Yechye and Mi Yamut is not a king who wants to elevate his people. He is giving a decree. He is giving a punishment. He is making a statement, a judgment about the fact.
But he's giving us an opportunity.
It's true. But
to avoid a negative judgment.
Yes, if you can remember the tshuva to the tzedakah, but meanwhile, my knees are shaking so bad by the time I get there.
She's
got it. You know.
But isn't it also? But right. An authorization sort of who actually holds your life in the balance. It's not necessarily like that crack, crack, crack the whip all the time, but it's a reminder and an acknowledgement of minute to minute. Big guy that's making the calls.
Yeah. The point is that God makes the calls. And the very beginning of the paragraph, the very beginning of this whole paragraph states that his whole throne is based on chesed, is based on kindness. Mm-hmm. That's how we start off.
Every day.
So that, yeah, and when we discuss this, when we discuss judgment, that's how this whole paragraph starts. That we have to, that's the whole introduction, that God judges based on kindness, based on compassion. We say, I mentioned this last time, that we say that God is merachem, Karachim Aval Banim, like exactly like Mrs. Zabrabchik said, that it's like a father has mercy on his child. To explain last time, what does it mean? What's the comparison to a father to a child? And so we said that just like a parent, they sometimes punish a kid, but when a kid's not behaving the way he's supposed to be behaving, so then a parent still has mercy on them, and because they look in at the future, they look to see, how's the kid going to end up? It's not about right now what the kid is like, but a father and a mother, they care about let's see the child grow,
yeah.
And it's about ultimately what's going to happen.
And
that's what happens on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur a little bit less, but Rosh Hashanah is all about the fact that our mindset and Yom Kippur. It's our mindset is to be good. We're coming to Shul and we're trying to be good and we're going to try to be better people. And if God sees that, and just like if a father and mother sees that, if a father and mother see a child they're not doing well, and then they come to the parents. They say, I want to do better. So what's the parent going to do? The parent's not going to punish the child. The parent's going to be, oh, come join us.
That's very true. I understand the experience of the parent, but Hashem is much larger than a parent than any parent could ever possibly be. A parent wouldn't say, me, Yamut. A parent wouldn't say who in a short time and who in a long time. Who will be crippled, who won't be crippled.
I don't think this is God talking. This is not God talking to us. God is not standing in front of us saying, who's going to die? This is us. This is supposed to be how we're supposed to. There's a difference between how we relate to God and what God tells us. I mean, we're telling God, we're telling ourselves that God is the master of the world. He decides what happens, and that's what this paragraph is about. That God decides that. It's not like God is not talking in this paragraph and saying, you might die today, and you. He's not talking to us directly.
So who is it? Is that me talking
to
myself?
About the fact that God is the master of the world and God decides everything. It's I'm telling myself this. It's not God telling this to us.
It's
like
an acknowledgement of
who
holds
your life. So it's not a
throne coming down,
a judgment coming down. It's us saying, look at what can happen here.
Yeah, we are also judged on this day. It's not like we're not judged. We are judged.
But at that moment, that's not him saying, me.
Yeah.
Me,
yeah.
Me,
that's yeah.
For
this
us
is for us to internalize. It's for us to internalize.
Here.
Yeah.
Now you need to tremble.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
You don't
have to
be so scared.
It's it used to be. When I was younger, it was always. Mind you, I hear that the Sephardi Jews. This is a very happy experience. I don't know how they got so lucky. But, you know, since I always, when they get around, you know, August is my father, and the leaves would turn. I'd Rosh Hashanah, and I would sing, and I would find a lot of joy in it. The older I'm getting, the more I'm getting.
Nervous.
Nervous. Because as the days pass and our time gets shorter on the planet, you know, our time to fix is shorter on the planet.
But God forgives.
Yeah, but God still forgives us. I was talking yesterday to a high school kid, and he had the same exact emotions, and he's a lot younger. He's in high school.
I think it's a tremendous sensitivity that somebody can be so in tune with how powerful God is. I think it's a beautiful thing. Obviously, we don't need to sit there and not, you know, not function, but the fact that you can have that emotion, I think it's amazing. I think feeling deeply, I think, is something that takes a lot of working
on. It's good.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I think you should be working on joy and sadness. You know, there's some people who hear sad news and happy, they literally cry for people. Like, I admire that somebody can hear something about somebody else and actually, like, I think I'm too selfish for that. Like, that's, I think it's amazing.
There's a balance that we have to have between Ava and Yira in terms of how we relate to God. There's a balance of love and fear that we have to have. We have that, and that is a balance. You can't have it too much in either direction. But you have to have a fear of God. You have to have a love of God, and that's something that one has to work on in terms of having that balance.
Well, this is experience. I must thank the group thank you for taking the time to be with me and how I experienced this, because now all of a sudden I don't feel like there's somebody standing over me with a long finger and saying, "This, you have your choices here." This is saying that this is something experienced that I need to process over in my mind of the possibilities if I don't do tshuva.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know? Because if I don't step up, then he will decree. If I do step up, then I stand the opportunity of living and having it.
Yeah. And if you look at that, let's go on. If you look at the contrast between this line of tshuva o tefila tztaka ma'avir nesroa gzeira, we say... We discuss the whole day of judgment and how God is judging us, and that's something that we have to internalize. Yeah. Then the climax is Uchuva Tfilot Tzakam Avir Nesroa Gzeira, that through repentance, prayer, and charity, we could remove the evil decree. And then the whole tone changes. After we say that line, the entire tone changes, because we scream out that we want to be better, we want to do tshuva, we want to repent. The whole tone changes. And then it changes to Ki Kishimcha Kein Tehilasacha. Your name signifies your praise, which means that his name is referring to Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is about mercy. And then it goes on, it says that Kasha Lichos V'Noach Lirtzos, that God is, it's hard for him to get angry at us, and it's very easy for him to want us to come back to him. Ki Lo Sachbos V'Mos Hameis, God does not desire a person to die. He doesn't desire that. That's not what Hashem wants. So the whole next paragraph is totally different than the first two. The first two is about how this is a day of judgment and bad things could happen over the next year. But once we scream that out, once we say that we want to return to you, so then the whole, everything changes. And it says, and Hashem says that it's he doesn't want us to die, and he kim b'shuvam midarko v'chaya. All God wants is us to return to the right ways. V'ad yom moso techakalo, and Hashem waits for us until the day that we die. And if we return, so then right away he'll accept us. So you see how the whole tone is different from to the next paragraph.
Yes, they don't do happy.
Never ever focused on this part paragraph that came out.
That's the
part. Because you're trembling from the first part.
I missed the point.
Yeah.
I got lost in the theater, not that the fact is the way out of it.
Well, that's why we have a wonderful person to teach us.
Thank God.
And then we say, MS, it is true, Ki atahu yotzram v'atayodei yitzram. You are the creator, and you know us. Ki heim basar v'adam. You know that we are just, we're clearly flesh and blood. So I want to contrast that with, if you look back at the first paragraph, he understands our inclinations.
Where are you?
I'm in, I don't know, everyone has a different...
485?
I'm on I don't know. I'm in the middle of the paragraph right after Tshuva Tzilut Tzedakah.
Hassan says
right after that.
You are their creator. It's just it's a, the paragraph after.
It's in Ki Kishimcha Kein Tilasecha, a few lines after that. It says, you see MS? Do you see it? Kiatahu Yotram, it is true that you are the creator. Batayode Yitzram, and you understand our nature. Who we are, kihim basar vadam. We are merely flesh and blood. So now if you contrast that one line of MSQ Kiatahu Yotram, if you go back to the first paragraph, the very first paragraph in Nisan HaTokev, over there also it has a line introduced by the word MS. It's for me it's the third line of the paragraph. It says MS Kiwadayan Umochiach Viodea Vaid. And I think there's a contrast here. First it says it is true that you are the judge and you know everything and you write everything down and you remember everything. That's in the first paragraph. And if you contrast that to the third paragraph, which comes after our statement of Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah, it says MS Kiatahu Yotram. It is true that you are a creator and you know us. You know that we're purely of flesh and blood and that we make mistakes. And I think it's an interesting contrast of MS. Both of them are saying that it is true, and they're both true. It is true that you are our judge, and it's also true that you know us and that we make mistakes and we have our weaknesses. But the focus is different between the first paragraph and the third paragraph because of the change of what we state. We say tshuva tefillah tzedakah. We say we want to repent, we want to come back to you. So before we say that, we view God as just this king who judges us. He's judging us and deciding our fate. Once we say that, so then the emes, the truth stays the same, but just in terms of how we view it is different. The truth is that you are our creator and you know us. You know us well and you know that we make mistakes. And so that emes, that line of truth, is an important contrast between the first paragraph and the third paragraph, that God knows who we are. And then the rest of this paragraph is showing how we're just of flesh and blood and we make mistakes, we have desires and we try to do good, but sometimes we mess up. And God knows that. God was our creator and he understands that. So he goes on to say, Adam Yisodo Me'afar V'sofa Me'afar. He was created by dust and he's going to return to dust. B'nafsho Yavi Lachmo Moshel Kecheres Hanishbar Kechatzir Yavesh. These are all language of the fact that we're not going to be here for a long time. But the focus here is about the fact that we God created us, and that we're not like God. God is eternal. We're not like God, and therefore we have our own weaknesses. We make mistakes, and God understands that. And that's what this whole paragraph is about. And so there's a clear contrast between the first two paragraphs, and we're going to see in the last two paragraphs, with the climax being Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah Ma'avirin Esroa Gzeira. And then after we discuss us, we discuss who we are, so then we return our attention to God. We first say that we make mistakes, but then we have to return that focus back to God. It's not just about us making mistakes. Then we scream out, V'atahu melech kelechai v'kayom. That we have to focus back on God and say that you are the king and you're eternal. We came from the ground and we're going to go back to the ground. But you, God, you're eternal. And our focus goes to God, and we say how God ain kitzel ish no secha, there's no span in your years, you're eternal, v'ein kitzel rechamecha, v'ein l'shar markavos kvodecha, we can't evaluate, we can't estimate your markavos kvodecha, the chariots of your honor, which I believe is referring to like the angels are directing, are the intermediaries into this world from God, in terms of how he deals with the world, v'ein l'tharish elum shemecha, there's a lot of words here of Shimcha, Shimcha, Shimcha. So what is Shimcha?
Happiness.
Shimcha is your name. Literally, it's your name. Your name. The shame, shame shall talk. So what name are we referring to of God when we say this? God has a lot of different names. So the name, also a name means in general, it's important to understand that a name, when we have a name of God, it doesn't mean his name. It means how he deals with the world. A name is a different aspect of God in terms of how he deals with the world. Mm. So this shame over here, this name, is referring to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's referring to the God of mercy. So they say that your name, that's his essential name, of mercy is pleasant to you, and that's your defining name. And we talk about how God is a merciful God. He's eternal and he's merciful. So first we focus on ourselves, about how God is going to relate to us as people of weakness, and that God understands that. And then we turn our attention to God, saying that God, you're eternal, and your name, your essential name, is one of mercy. Then it says, "Asei leman shemecha," you should do this for your name. You should be kind to us for your name which is defined as a God of compassion. V'kadosh shemecha amatishe shemecha, and you should sanctify your name, amatishe shemecha. Bavur kvod shemecha hanaretz v'haniktosh. It's about the fact that we should sanctify God's name in this world. And so therefore that leads to Kedusha, which is all about sanctifying God. And so we end off saying how ultimately we want to sanctify God's name, and we emphasize how God is eternal and great and cares about us. So we go, just to conclude, we start off the whole paragraph discussing the fact that this is a day of judgment and fear, and how even the angels are trembling. I mean, it's a very scary time, and that's something that we have to internalize. And then that should lead to a reaction of returning to God, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, prayer and charity and repentance. And after we return to God, so then the whole tone changes. The whole tone changes to talking about a God of mercy and how he understands that we make mistakes, but ultimately we want to do better. And then we focus on God himself and how we want to sanctify God's name, which leads ultimately to the Kedusha.
Good. Thank you. Yes. Beautiful. Yeah.